Father's voice was only a whisper, but it carried through the room. How can I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when I am surrounded by impurity? Zek thought of quoting back to him his own sermon, given 2 years ago when Zek was only just barely 4. Do you think that God cannot make his voice heard no matter what other noise is going on around you? If you are pure, then all the tumult of the world is silence compared to the voice of God. But Zek knew that to quote this now would bring down the rod of chastisement. Father was not really asking a question. He was pointing out what everyone knew, that in all this congregation, only Habit Morgan was really, truly pure. That's why God's answers came to him, and only to him. "Saint Nick is a mask," roared Father. "Saint Nick is the false beard and the false laugh worn by the drunken servants of the god of frivolity. Dionysus is his name, Bacchus. Revelry and debauchery, greed and covetousness are the gifts he instills in the hearts of our children. Oh God, save us from the Satan of Santa. Keep our children's eyes averted from his malicious, predatory gaze. Do not seat our children upon his lap to whisper their coveting into his stony ear. He is an idol of idolatry. God knows what spirit animates these idols and makes them laugh their ho-ho, whoredoms and abominations and braying jackassery." Father was in fine form. And now that he was bellowing the words of God, striding back and forth across the front of the sanctuary, Zek could scratch the occasional itch as long as he kept his gaze locked on Father's face. For an hour, Father went on, telling stories of children who put their faith in Santa Claus, and parents who lied to their children about Saint Nick, and taught their children that all the stories of Christmas were myths, including the story of the Christ child. Telling stories of children who became atheists when Santa did not bring them the gifts they coveted most. "Satan is a liar every time. When Santa puts a lie on the lips of parents, the seed of that lie is planted in the hearts of their children, and when that seed comes to flower and bears fruit, the fruit of that lie is faithlessness. You do not deserve the trust of your children when you lie for Satan." Then his voice fell to a whisper. "Jolly old Saint Nicholas," he hissed. "Lend your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say." Then his voice roared out again. "Yes, your children whisper their secret desires to Satan, and he will answer their prayers, not with the presence they seek, and certainly not with the presence of God Emmanuel. No, he will answer their prayers with the ashes of sin in their mouths, with the poison of atheism and unbelief in the plasma of their blood. He will drive out the hemoglobin and replace it with hellish lust." And so on, and so on. In Zach's mind, the clock that kept perfect time went round the full 40 minutes of the sermon. Father never repeated himself once, and yet he also never strayed from the single message. God's message was always brief, Father said, but it took him many words to translate the pure wisdom of the Lord's language into the poor English that mere mortals could understand. And Father's sermons never ran over. He wrapped them up right in time. He was not a man who talked just to hear himself talk. He labored his labor, and then he was done. At the end of the sermon, there was a hymn, and then Father called upon old Brother Verlin and told him that God had seen him today and made his heart pure enough to pray. Verlin rose to his feet weeping and could hardly get out the words of the prayer of blessing on the congregation. He was so moved at being chosen for the first time since he confessed selling an old car of his for nearly twice what it was worth, because the buyer had tempted him by offering even more for it. His sin was forgiven, more or less. That's what it meant for Brother Habit to call on him to pray. Then it was done. Zach leapt to his feet and ran to his father and hugged him, as he always did, for it felt to him when such a sermon ended that some dust of light from heaven must linger still on Father's clothing. And if Zach could embrace him tightly enough, it might rub off on him so that he could begin to become pure. Because heaven knew he was not pure now. Father loved him at such times. Father's hands were gentle on his hair, his shoulder, his back. There was no willow rod to draw blood out of his shirt.